Us. Bill, good morning.
Morning, Sean.
Thanks very much for joining us on the program this morning. Rhinos, they're considered a vulnerable species. What impact could the legalization of the rhino horn trade in China have on their numbers?
It's difficult to see how it would be anything but bad. Poaching, and mainly for markets in China and also Vietnam, has been really overwhelmingly the biggest threat to rhinos throughout the world, which is where Africa and Asia, where they occur. There's seven species, and every single one of them has just been hugely reduced in numbers. And it's a combination of humans expanding into many areas and building roads into many areas. And then when you have such high prices that are being offered, in some cases hundreds of thousands of dollars per kilo for rhino horn, which is used as traditional medicines and in things like aphrodisiacs, that it just gets ridiculous. And so there's an incredible incentive for poachers armed with automatic weapons to go out. And then there's a whole cartel of illegal activities and illegal smugglers, of which, of any nation, the Chinese nationals operating overseas in Africa and Asia have been the most active. And so China has been very much at the heart of the really catastrophic decline of rhinos, and the notion that they would then legalize, you're talking about legalizing the trade in rhino horn, for me, just doesn't have any prospects but bad ones for rhinos.
Well, one of the justifications, I guess, used behind this, this potential decision hasn't been made as a decision yet, but a potential decision, it's been suggested by the United Nations Environmental Program, farming rhinos domestically under strict regulation could help conserve wild rhinos, as illegal poachers would need to compete with legally sourced horns. Is this in any way realistic in your view?
Yeah, well, the real problem is obviously telling the farmed rhino horn products apart from the illegal products. And it's the same thing that we've seen with lots of other cases, things like ivory, and also there's been similar cases claimed for things like pangolins, which are sort of armadillo-like creatures that have been hugely impacted mostly because of Chinese trade. And the same thing's been said there, that, oh, well, they were going to farm them, or they were only going to use appropriate sources. And in fact, what's happened is it's basically given a get-out-of-jail-free card to illegal poachers and smugglers that have these stocks of rhino horn or of other illegal products. And it's essentially almost impossible, without really heavy-duty genetic analyses, to discriminate between captive bred and wild animals. And what it'll simply do is energize the poachers that are already going out and having huge incentives for slaughtering rhinos. I don't see much prospect that it's going to be somehow bringing the price of rhino horn down. If anything, it's just going to be creating. I mean, if you look, I saw an essay written on this recently from a very, shall we say, China-friendly perspective, and the number of bureaucratic institutions and individuals and the different numbers of effort, the amount of effort that would have to be involved to make this work, were really quite incredible. And it's so much more complicated and difficult and hard to achieve than just having a ban. A ban is what everyone understands, and a ban does help. It's not completely effective, but right now we can crack down as hard as possible, and we can try to educate people about that. And that's a workable solution. This thing is just putting China's interests, and this is, again, for products which there's no medical or clinical or other evidence that any of this rhino horn actually does. Things like having the aphrodisiac properties or curing cancer, it just doesn't, there's no evidence at all that it does this. So it's essentially putting very much China putting its own interests ahead of that of the rest of the world.
As you sort of touched on there, a ban is something everybody can understand. So in your view, if we were to legalize this, or legalize any aspects of the rhino herd trade, indeed China were to legalize any aspects of this rhino herd trade, we would go backwards on that educational effort you mentioned there.
Yes, I think it would create a lot of confusion. And the other thing is, there's been a lot of effort, and Vietnam is also a sizable consumer of rhino. And there's been, for instance, there was a woman from Melbourne, and she had a degree in marketing, and she became quite inspired about this, and actually went to Vietnam and put posters, large billboards up in airports and in magazines and in other places, telling people about the reasons why they shouldn't be using rhino horn and why they shouldn't be giving gifts of rhino horn. And the other thing is that South Africa has actually started putting some very potent toxins in the rhino horn, some of the rhino horn that's going out into the market. And oftentimes rhino horn will be given as a very expensive gift, say, to seal a business deal. Well, it turns out that now there's this toxic rhino horn mixed in amongst this. And what this woman was saying is, don't risk, blowing your business deal. Don't risk making a big business mistake. And that was starting to be absorbed, that idea. And people were starting to talking openly about the notion that maybe this isn't a good thing that we're doing. Well, China, is a difficult media market to crack. It has not had traditionally an open media. The state has tended to crack down on news that's critical of the government. And so when you're starting to get public dialogue going about, the downside of the rhino horn trade and the fact that it is, a lot of Chinese simply didn't understand until more recently that in fact the rhino populations had just plummeted catastrophically, in many cases right to the edge of extinction in many parts of the world. So I think you'd risk much of the progress that's been made so far and creating a great deal of confusion with a move like this. I think it's very much, there's a really good reason why there's been a gigantic global uproar and why China has at least for the moment said, well, we're going to postpone this. They haven't said at all that they're going to back off. They've just simply said, well, we're going to postpone it. I hope they postpone it for good.
Bill, it is certainly a worrying development. Do appreciate you joining us this morning, having a chat with us about this one.
Sure, Sean. Pleasure.